Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Division rivalry game. We said going in, tough defensive team, probably be close. These games usually are, and I don't think there's anything to be surprised at, but did you find anything you were surprised at?
Not really. I mean, you were in a dogfight. Even Brady used that word, dogfight, and he and Bill sort of spun it as a good thing. They haven't really had one of these. This was a good situation maybe to learn from, build on, make some plays at the end. Chris Long and Trey Flowers making plays to win a football game that's in question. I don't really love that it's 2 weeks in a row that you kind of struggled and were in a dogfight on the road. That seems like a trend that I want to keep from continuing.
Yeah, and you said, you know, was the things you were surprised about, and I agree. I thought it was going to be a tight game. I didn't think it was going to be one of those blowouts because of all the reasons you said, but surprised that the defense made a huge play at the end of the game to win the game. And on a day when the offense didn't necessarily have its A game, the defense did enough. It wasn't perfect, but they did enough, forced two turnovers. The second one obviously decided the game. That was surprising to me.
For me, the thing I was most surprised at was how much Brady's knee affected him. You know, usually he has these injuries, whether it's his hand or shoulder or whatever, and he comes out and he's Tom Brady. But I really think he was noticeably affected by that knee in this game.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Now, he kind of downplayed it and said the inaccuracy early was more he was a little over-anxious and wasn't letting things develop. I don't really buy that. We know he's a guy who the fundamentals are so important to him and the mechanics. And when you take an issue at your base, at your knee, that kind of is going to affect you. We probably should have known it was coming. When he misses 2 days of practice, that's probably an indication this is kind of a big deal. And then on your plant leg, your back leg, your power leg, that's going to affect you.
You go back to the summer, Fred. He didn't even want to miss any reps in preseason, both the games and in training camp, when he wasn't going to play the first 4 weeks. So we know how important those reps are to him. So when he wasn't out there Wednesday and Thursday, in retrospect, Andy's right, we should have been a little bit more prepared for something physically to be bothering him that we could see that was going to be at least somewhat significant. But, you know, in the end, you know, when he had to have it, you know, he was able to be Tom Brady again. And that, to me, is just speaks volumes. And then you listen to all the accolades that he gets afterwards, his 200th win overall, and the reaction of the players. And, of course, you know, he does that Tom thing. Well, you know, it's because of you guys.
Right.
And, you know, I just think that's what sort of ingratiates him with his teammates. But 200 wins ties him with Peyton Manning.
It was.
What
I thought
else
it was appropriate.
60,000 yards. Yeah. So many
I
things.
Thought it was appropriate the way it played out. It was sort of a Brady get you. Gronkowski leaves. Bennett is hobbled. Some of the receivers are hobbled. And he kind of just wills you, makes the plays. You're in a dogfight with the Jets, as he's been so many times over the years. I thought it was sort of appropriate the way it played out.
Yeah, and we talk about team wins, and I think when you get a game like that, dogfight, it takes everyone. You have the blocked field goal by Alan Branch. You have the big defensive stand at the end with Chris Long.
Yep.
And you have guys like Mitchell and Hogan and Deion Lewis now contributing. And
yep.
I think you needed every single
James
one of
White,
them.
James White, fourth
yeah,
down
right.
conversion.
Every
yeah.
single
huge.
One of them had to contribute to win a game like this.
And I like the Mitchell one because Mitchell, it's funny, early in the year he has the elbow injury and you're thinking, oh, that's too bad. He was just starting to do well and there goes his rookie year. And now as everybody else is banged up, he might be the healthiest of the bunch that's out there catching passes. And he has kind of dug his way into Brady's little circle of trust the last 2 weeks. The 56-yard touchdown in San Francisco, two touchdowns this week. I mean, you can say you don't win this game without Malcolm Mitchell with the plays he made in the end zone.
Now, having said that, you know, we always want to get better, and there's always things to be learned on every win or loss.
Is this the negative turn?
Yeah. I thought that there was some questionable...
You typically lead us down a negative
path. I thought there was either some questionable coaching decisions or game time management decisions, particularly at the end of the first half, which, you know, is not the usual thing for this team. You know, not taking a timeout, either that or spiking the ball at the end of the half there. You had plenty of time to go for at least two times to the end zone. You ended up having one play, 12 seconds left, and then having to kick the field goal. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that were curious right from the start. First drive, third down and 10. Deion Lewis gets stopped, clearly short of the first down. The referees give him a yard and a half on the spot, and the Patriots weren't ready to run a play. They had to take a timeout. That allowed Todd Bowles the time to see the replay and challenge it. They overturned it. Then they had a third down penalty, a failed third down. that the Jets had. They could have pushed him out of field goal range, set up a 3rd and 18. Belichick chose to decline the penalty. Nick Folk kicks a 51-yard field goal. I thought that was a little bit curious. Showed a little bit of a lack of faith in the defense.
I agree with that.
And then you described the last series. So this is, you know, to take it down a negative path, last year I felt like they played their best football coming out of the gates. They were 10-0, and then it sort of spiraled a little bit down the stretch with injuries and also coaching decisions. This year I'm starting to see some signs of the same thing. Now, hopefully they can continue to win the games despite the injuries and despite what you just described as some curious decisions, but they're not playing their best. They're not playing as well now as they were in September, and this is the second year in a row, so just foreshadowing, I'm a little concerned about that.
I was encouraged, though. I just thought even when Gronk went out and the Patriots were struggling on offense, there's just too many weapons on this team. Even with Brady's bad knee, I just felt that eventually they'd get it figured out, and I think they did. I think they did against a defense that knows them well, defensive-minded coach, you know, and I think the Jets played pretty well.
They did enough. Yeah. I would say the offense did enough. It wasn't great. That's not a good pass defense. It is a pretty good run defense, big up front, but in the back end, they're banged up. Darrell Revis
is old. One of the worst
in
the league.
So there's certainly, it wasn't a marquee day for the passing offense, but you say there's too many weapons. There's so many weapons, and we've talked about that. There is a great depth of weapons and variety of types of weapons, but a lot of them are banged up right now. They are, Bill talked a lot about, I think it was during the bye week, about how healthy they'd been and they'd really been lucky. And, well, that worm has turned a little bit here. And you're talking about your quarterback, your best tight end, your second best tight end. All of your receivers, except for Mitchell, are basically on the injury report. You're fighting through some things right now, I think.
We'll see how that goes. We got the Rams coming in this week, a team that usually plays good defense but got lit up in New Orleans on Sunday.
It's a bad team. This is another team that this is a good time to have them coming in.
But it's a homecoming game, Paul. And
absolutely,
I say that because
huge.
We're celebrating the 2001 Super Bowl this season, and we're going to have over 40 guys from the 2001 team here. They'll be out at halftime to celebrate that.
Tom will be here.
First Super Bowl. He'll be here, but he'll be
play
in the locker room.
I think he'll be playing.
But, you know, when you think back of that, you know, I'll talk about it later in the show, but we were so innocent back then, you know, as fans. It was like nobody hated us. We didn't expect anything. You know, we weren't spoiled yet.
It was the opposite. We were America's sweethearts.
America's team. Yeah, remember the logo, red, white, and blue? Everybody was rooting for the Patriots and the red, white, and blue.
It was
confetti.
So different. But of all those guys, like, you know, Brady is obviously the only guy still playing on the Patriots. Who's a guy that you'd be most, other than Drew Bledsoe?
I have to take myself out of this conversation.
Who's a guy that you'd be most, you know, happy to see come back?
Cole Ayi?
Not Cole Ayi, Paul Perillo. I just think some of those defensive guys, you know, a Roman Pfeiffer type,
great
or a Brian
guy.
Cox type. They had so many guys that were not Pro Bowlers, but kind of core locker room leaders, veteran, that whole free agent
Anthony
class.
Pleasant.
Yeah, Anthony Pleasant, those types. Bobby Hamilton.
B-Ham.
Guys that are never going to be anything beyond Super Bowl champions for Bill Belichick.
Right.
And I think that's kind of cool to bring those all together with the stars. Obviously, Brady and Drew and all those guys.
And, you know, we've seen it over the years with other teams, Pittsburgh and San Francisco and the Giants. I think it's going to be a special day for them, and I hope it is for the fans. I hope
Drew's coming back.
I hope they remember what we were like back then.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart matchup, in the trenches, Patriots' young offensive line protecting a hobbled Tom Brady with that knee injury faces a Rams front led by Aaron Donald, maybe the best defensive lineman in football, 6 sacks. He gets to the quarterback up the middle, interior pressure. They also have Robert Quinn off the edges, Joe Tooney, David Andrews, Shaq Mason. You guys need to get the job done. Another challenge up front, and you need to be better in meeting that challenge.
It's getting a little bit later in the season. That means injuries are becoming a problem, and that's certainly been the case with the Patriots. Rob Gronkowski forced to leave the last game against the Jets with a back injury. But the good news for New England is Deion Lewis is back, and he's certainly made an impact already since coming off PUP. I think he and James White really present a lot of challenges for opposing defenses, and we've seen the Patriots use both of those guys together in the backfield. I think it creates all kinds of mismatches. I love both of those guys as receivers, but I particularly like Deion Lewis as a runner as well. So even though you're missing Gronk, and that's not a good thing, you have these two backs right now that I think are playing at a very high level and making a lot of plays for that offense.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk, we look at two road wins that were dogfights, Paul Perillo. Is the glass half full or half empty? Good sign, bad sign?
I certainly give them a lot of credit for the way they won the Jets game, but I'm a little concerned here, and I know people make fun of me a lot on Twitter. I don't know if you know this. You get a lot of criticism there.
Jumbo Hart, one of them?
They seem like that I'm concerned about everything, and I guess that's probably true. I don't like the trend. Last year, they started off 10-0. They didn't play their best football down the stretch. Things sort of unraveled. Injuries became an issue, and I see some of those signs now, and I don't think they're playing their best football here since the bye week. I think they've been struggling a little bit. Offensively, defensively, the complementary football hasn't necessarily been great. Again, give them a lot of credit for finding a way to win the two games, especially the Jets game that they were trailing in the fourth quarter, but I'm venturing to the half-empty side.
Half full. Way half full. Way. As much as way half full as can half
full
usually
be. Usually are overly positive.
Patriots are showing what championship teams do. When you go through your slumps, you still win.
Yep.
You still keep pace for that number one seed in the AFC. You don't screw things up beyond repair. And I think that's what they're doing. You know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick talked about maybe they needed one of these games. They haven't had one of these dogfight Jets games where they needed to make plays right at the end to win in a tough environment. They've also been without Rob Gronkowski for the last couple weeks, and I think that has altered the offense. Tom Brady is a little banged up. I think these are things, there's reasons behind the scuffling that you've had on the road. So When you go through some of your worst times, and I think you're hoping these are your worst times, and win, I think that's a great thing to build on moving forward.
Yeah, but you talked about the reasons that they're struggling, but those are the reasons why I'm concerned. I think especially when you take Gronk out of the equation offensively, it just doesn't look the same to me. I think this is an offense that generally can score 30 points rolling out of bed. Well, I haven't seen that offense the last couple of weeks. Certainly didn't see it at the Meadowlands. And that, to me, when you take Gronkowski out of the equation, things just don't look the same.
What doesn't kill you, Paul, makes you stronger. What doesn't make you lose makes you stronger.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Instead of looking around the NFL, this week we'll stay right here at home. This season is the 15th anniversary of the Patriots' very first Super Bowl win back in 2001 against the Rams. Fittingly, the Patriots will honor that achievement at halftime this Sunday against those same Rams with over 40 members of the team. 2001. We were so innocent. We expected nothing and would have laughed at a prediction of the current 15-year run. No one hated us back then. That type of respect through disrespect was reserved for the powers of the league. And when Adam Vinatieri's kick sailed through the uprights, we asked, did that just happen? Are the Patriots really world champs? None of us will forget that moment, and we were content to live in that moment because we had no idea, not a clue, that it would lead to so many more moments. We are the most fortunate football fans of the 21st century.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, left tackle Nate Solder. Nate, I just want to start with you and the offensive line that has stayed together all year. How has the continuity helped this group?
You know, we've been working hard, all five of us and all the other guys that are working beside us. And we do the best we can to be ready for every game. That's kind of our strategy. And there's been some continuity, which has been nice, but we're also ready. Whatever happens, whoever needs to go in there, we're ready to go.
I think when we talk about left tackles in the NFL, everybody assumes it's a pass-blocking position, but we've seen you do a lot of run blocking this year, get out in front for LeGarrette. How much have you worked on that aspect of your game over the years, and do you feel like maybe you've improved in that area?
oh, I certainly feel like I've improved in a lot of areas. That being said, I definitely need to continue to improve. So, yeah, you know what? I love when we can run the ball and we can be consistent with that, and we can mix it up and with pass and run, and that's something we always like to do.
I know you guys respect every opponent, but when I look at depth charts, last week it was the Jets with Wilkerson and Richardson and Williams, and this week I look at Donaldson and Quinn. It seems like you're in a little stretch here of some really impressive defensive fronts. What do you see from the Rams?
Yeah, they are very impressive. A lot of top picks, a lot of guys with a lot of talent, and a lot of guys that play hard. They have a supreme defense. It's going to be a real challenge for us.
I had a source that told me you have two massive dogs. Is it a St. Bernard and a Newfoundland?
Yeah.
Why the huge dogs, and how do they fit in a family with a young child?
Well, I got the Newfoundland maybe 6 years ago. I always wanted one because I'd seen their water rescue dogs, and I thought that was so cool. Then the St. Bernard was just another big dog, and we rescued her, and she's just been a companion for Walter, and we love them both. They're great dogs.
Did you feel like you, being huge, as everyone can see with how short I am, did you feel like you needed a big dog? Would it be weird if you came in with a Chihuahua or something?
I think the balance is better that way. I think having a dog that kind of matches your size makes sense.
And do they share a personality like you? Because you're a big guy who's sort of quiet and keeps to himself. Are your dogs the same way?
Many people have said that Walter is very much like me, which is funny, but maybe it's true.
Sounds like Walter's a good dog, and Nate Solder, I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time to answer your questions here in PFW, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Freddie, big news.
Patriots are still number one.
Yes. Rivalry win on the road, you stay at number one. Cowboys 2, Vikings 3. Paul Perillo, go ahead.
5 out of 6 losses, Freddie. That number 3.
Shows how dominant they were early in the year.
The flaw in that way
the
you
flaw
do
in this
it.
Segment is you.
There's
number
no way
4
that
is
the
Minnesota
Seahawks. Vikings are the number 3 team in the NFL.
5,
come
the
on.
Chiefs. And you look down the bottom, the Browns and 49ers.
He doesn't even listen. He just keeps on going. Just
I would listen to reason. I'm not listening.
So when
listening
the 49ers lose a lot of games in a row, they go down to the bottom. When
right.
the Vikings lose a lot of games in a row, they go up higher.
Why they're winning and what they do as a football team.
All right. First question comes from Bob in Hudson, New Hampshire. He says, back in week 3, the Patriots shut out Houston, and on that short week, they lost the practice and pads and did an extended walkthrough. After the game, the guys on defense were saying that the walkthrough helped them prepare better. Any thoughts on having more of them?
Yeah, they actually, I don't believe, practiced at all that week because of the nature of the short
Correct.
Week. They do walkthroughs all the time. They do walkthroughs during regular weeks. They do walkthroughs on Saturday,
yep.
you know, home or road on, you know, before the game. So they do walkthroughs as a normal part of it. You still need to practice. I think if you decided, if you're going to be that new age coach that said we don't practice during the week, you would end up at the bottom of the Wilson Hart Power Index at some
point.
Well,
not necessarily, because it all depends on your turnover ratio and whatnot. Might be up there. But Andy's exactly right. I mean, if you can play Houston every week at home on a short week, then maybe you can get away with it. But that's not an ideal way to prepare.
And I think short or long week, whatever, when they do those walkthroughs, if Bill or the coaches don't think they're getting something, they keep going.
And it's part of the
it's
process.
It's not like there's a time limit on walkthroughs.
You go classroom, right. walkthrough, full speed practice.
Right. Sean writes in, and he's already looking ahead to draft day.
Nice.
And he says, with Chandler Jones gone and the lack of pressure on quarterback, is a, you know, that type of pressure rusher one of the priorities on draft day?
Are we picking 32? Should I assume that?
Well, somewhere down
okay.
there.
Probably. That's a good bet.
Okay.
You know, I would say right ahead of Minnesota, but...
good Paul.
Thank
good.
You, Fred. I would say absolutely a pass rusher is high in the list, but tackle. I mean, I think you're going to want to get some depth, I think, at tackle, because behind Cannon and Solder, I don't think you have a whole lot. And, you know, Adrian Waddle's been inactive every week. I think you might want to get a young tackle that you can develop.
We said that last
couple years later, so you can develop somebody and have somebody ready.
Yeah, I think the tackle one is a good one. I think linebacker could be a good one. Certainly, you have to
spot.
See what they do with Dante Hightower and free agency and where
right.
that goes. I still think cornerback, even though when you invested in Cyrus Jones, him not playing, cornerback could be one. And running back. You don't have a power running back, a bigger running back to develop. That could be a place to look.
You mentioned Hightower's contract. Billy writes in, what do you guys think of the extended contract for Marcus Cannon?
I think he's had a nice bounce back year. I think he's a guy that somehow, some way, Dante Scarnecchia has gotten the best out of. I think this year, and I guess it was 3 years ago now, were his best years playing right tackle, filling in for Sebastian Vollmer when he was hurt. And Skarnecchia is the reason for that. So as long as Skarnecchia stays for the length of the extension, I'm fine with Cannon staying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's, to me, ideally, he's still a backup. I'm not completely sold on the Cannon train that everybody else seems to be riding right now. I'd like to see
them
sure
get... Not sure there's a Cannon
train. Yeah, Strawman somewhere?
Strawman, they just signed him to a five-year extension.
I wouldn't call that a train.
They signed Jonathan Freeney, too.
I think you need backups on the offensive line.
I think
he's a guy that can play a lot of
different
positions.
I think they need a starter on the offensive line.
Okay, but if you don't find a starter, he's a guy that's proven he can't start.
Yeah, I don't think signing him precludes them from getting guys next year.
I didn't say anything about precluding them.
Okay.
I don't like the signing.
All right. Ryan writes in, when do you think we'll get to see Cyrus Jones at corner? Seeing the back of Logan Ryan's jersey and getting torched 90% of the game is frustrating and makes me wonder why the team doesn't give Jones more of a shot.
No, that's not.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. And if you are really watching that closely so you can tell me how many percentage of the time Ryan's getting beat, then you know Cyrus Jones got beat when he played.
Yeah. Ryan hasn't been as bad as that. I mean, I'm a little critical of Ryan, but we haven't seen the back of his jersey. He's not getting torched all over the field every single game. I thought he had a great game in San Francisco. I thought he was very competitive.
I would say in the last two games, Ryan's been your best quarterback.
And I would say Cyrus Jones has never shown me anything dating back to the preseason to say he's ready to replace Logan Ryan. No way, no how.
All right, well, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com.